proclaiming the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. I am Aaron Broughton, your host for today, and I want to thank you for joining me. Over the past few programs, we have been looking at Bible geography by taking a land tour, visiting special places in Israel, both past and present. The last time we visited the Eastern Gate on the eastern side of the Old City of Jerusalem. In fact, we've been actually, in our past few programs, been going around looking at the gates of Jerusalem. If you want to listen again to one of these programs, I invite you to go to our website, ibjm.org. Under the Ministries tab, you'll see radio, and you can listen to our past programs and get caught up on what's going on in the previous broadcasts. Let me just refresh us where we were at. We walked around the southern steps as we remember the day of Pentecost mentioned in Acts chapter 2. And here we saw many mikvot, or Jewish ritual cleansing baths, that could have been used by the 3,000 who were saved and baptized on that special day. We also took time to see the sealed eastern gate called the Golden Gate, and is also called the Gate of Mercy, or Sa'ar Rachamim in Hebrew. If you recall, there is a Muslim cemetery that is supposed to prohibit any so-called Messiah from entering. We were reminded of Ezekiel's prophecy that one day the prince will enter into this place to restore Jerusalem and establish true worship at the temple, and we look forward to that day. So let's now walk just a little farther up, a little farther north on the eastern wall to Lion's Gate. As we enter, you will see four leopards that have been miscalled lions over the years, but the name has stuck, so therefore it's Lion's Gate. These were put there by Ottoman Sultan Suleiman the Magnificent in the year 1517. This was in celebration of Suleiman's victory over the Mamluks. Another tradition is that the animals were put there based on a dream that Suleiman had that caused him to fortify the city with this gate. This gate leads to the Muslim quarter of the Old City and brings us to the Via Dolorosa, known as the Way of the Cross, where Jesus carried his cross. Also, along this road is the Pool of Bethesda, where Jesus healed the lame man. Lionsgate gives entrance to some of the most difficult stories we read of in the Bible. You see, Lionsgate is also called St. Stephen's Gate. In the book of Acts chapter 7, we read the account of the testimony of Stephen, who was a deacon in the early church. He stood before the religious leaders of his day for his faith in Jesus the Messiah. They became so enraged that they took him outside the city gate and stoned him. Tradition says it was through Lion's Gate where this event took place. As we remember the story of Stephen, we see that he was bold as a lion in declaring the truth about Jesus. Upon being stoned, Stephen saw the Lord in whom he trusted. He was confident in Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. How ironic that the gate where Stephen was taken is called Lion's Gate today. You see, the lion is really a symbol of Jerusalem. It refers back to the time that this was in the tribe of Judah. In Genesis 49 verse 9, Jacob said that Judah is a lion's whelp or cub. He then says in the next verse that the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. This obviously refers to the day when Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, will come and rule and reign in Jerusalem one glorious day. In looking back at Stephen's testimony, he understood who the true ruler was and is to come. He devoted his life to Jesus, the Lion of Judah. What a humbling thought it is to know that this took place at Lion's Gate. I pray that the Lord will give us courage and boldness in the face of opposition. When the Lion of Judah is with us, who can stand against us? Truly, Lion's Gate in the Old City of Jerusalem gives us a unique view into the mystery of this special place. I invite you to join us again next time as we will continue our visit of the gates of the Old City of Jerusalem in our tour of Bible geography in the land of Israel. The next stop on our journey is Damascus Gate. Come along with us and invite a friend as well. Also, just want to mention to our listeners that IBJM is hosting a special tour to Israel this coming March. Invite you to come along with us on that trip of a lifetime. In fact, I challenge you to maybe invite your pastor and his wife. In fact, even go along with them. I know they will be blessed from it, and I believe the church will be blessed as well. And I invite you to again come along on this trip of a lifetime to Israel again this coming spring. Now, with this in mind, let's open our Bibles and our hearts as we study together with our teacher and Jewish believer, Brother Mark Oshman, with today's Bible lesson.
Welcome back for another radio program. During this time of the year, the Jewish people celebrate a very special holiday, a holiday that has its roots in Jewish history. This is known as the Feast of Dedication, or the holiday of Hanukkah. For the next few minutes, we'll study how Jews celebrate this holiday and the reason for their celebration. Hanukkah commemorated the rededication of the temple in B.C. 165. At that time, the Jewish nation lay under the dominion of the Seleucids, headed by Antiochus Epiphanes. History referred to him as Antiochus Epiphanes because he had a very exalted opinion of himself, the world Epiphanes roughly translating into the manifest or the great one. Antiochus Epiphanes sought to impose Greek cultural values on the Jews in Israel. To accomplish that end, he wanted to break the spirits of those Jews who opposed them. He took a number of actions designed to demonstrate his power over Israel. For one, he installed a statue of a Greek god in the temple and commanded the Jewish people to bow down and worship it. Furthermore, Antiochus Epiphanes ritually defiled the temple by sacrificing a pig upon the temple altar. That potentate sought to repeat the latter outrage in cities throughout Israel. One of his representatives went to a small town near Jerusalem by the name of Modin. He asked an elderly priest named Mattathias to make that sacrifice, but Mattathias refused. When another Jew offered to sacrifice the pig, Mattathias up and killed him. Supported by his five sons, Mattathias fled to the hill country of Judea. Other Jews of like mind joined them there. These Jews formed an army that revolted against Antiochus Epiphanes. Judah, who was surnamed Maccabee, one of the sons of Mattathias, Judah Maccabee led an army that engaged Antiochus's forces repeatedly in the form of guerrilla warfare. In B.C. 165, the Maccabean army defeated Antiochus Epiphanes, driving his army out of Jerusalem. The Jewish priests had to cleanse the altar and the temple before they could offer sacrifices again. They thought that they needed 8 days to perform this task, according to Jewish tradition. However, they only had 1 day's supply of oil remaining. The books of the Maccabees, found among the apocryphal works of the Bible, related how that single day's supply of oil supposedly lasted for 8 days. After they finished cleansing the temple and the altar, the Jews dedicated both unto God. Again, the word Hanukkah means dedication, thus the name for the holiday. The Feast of Hanukkah serves to remind the Jews about God's deliverance. Throughout this holiday, Jewish families sing a song entitled Ma'os Tzur, roughly translated as Rock of Ages. Not, by the way, to be confused with the same hymn that Christians sing. Each stanza of Ma'os Tzur relates to God's rescuing the Jews from a different oppressor throughout their history. The song therefore stands as a testimony of God's power to deliver the Jewish people. During Hanukkah, Jewish children often spin a four-sided top, known as a dreidel. Each side features a different Hebrew consonant, Gimel, Nun, Pe, and Shin. The letters represent the Hebrew acronym. A great miracle took place there. One way that Jewish people celebrate Hanukkah involves a change of diet. They customarily eat food that has been fried or baked in oil. Some Jews eat cheese products, such as blintzes. A blintz is a type of thin pancakes, filled with fruit or cheese curds, much like a crepe in nature. Hanukkah commemorates special synagogue services. The first Sabbath reading in the synagogues derives from Genesis chapter 37, relating to Joseph's dreams and his subsequent imprisonment in Egypt. The second Sabbath reading comes from chapter 4 in the prophecy of Zechariah, featuring this verse, quote, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts," unquote. Jews also recite Psalms 113 through 119, called the Praise Psalms. North American and Israeli Jews commonly exchange presents, or they give gifts to children during Hanukkah. Coin-shaped chocolates, with the covering depicting a Hanukkah theme. Coin-shaped chocolates often serve as a good example of these gifts. Shoppers can find these items in their local supermarkets, even in many non-Jewish areas. The Hanukkiah, or lampstand, constitutes one of the most important fixtures used to celebrate the holiday of Hanukkah. A typical Hanukkiah used during this holiday has branches, representing the 8 days of Hanukkah. There is a special candle known as the Shamash candle, and on the first day, Jews light that first candle. On the second day, they light that same candle and the candle to the left. On the third day, they light those two candles and the next candle to the left. They continue to perform the ceremony throughout the time of Hanukkah. According to Jewish belief, a family ought not to light the candles on a Hanukkiah until they say the appropriate evening prayers. Here is an example of one of these prayers. Quote, "Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to kindle the Hanukkah light." Unquote. A Jewish family should kindle the lights of the Hanukkiah once stars appear in the sky. According to Jewish law, the candles on the Hanukkiah should burn for at least 1/2 hour. If, for some reason, the lights should go out, the family can rekindle them without having to recite the evening prayers again. Olive oil and wicks of cotton function as the preferred kindling items used to light the Hanukkiah. This lamp serves special purposes. When it's placed in an area where others can see it, such as on a windowsill, the Hanukkiah reminds the non-Jewish world of the miracle that took place during Hanukkah. In addition, Jewish people are discouraged from using the light of the Hanukkiah in order to illuminate things in their house. Using the Hanukkiah in public settings has caused some controversy. In one 1989 Supreme Court case, County of Allegheny versus ACLU, the Supreme Court ruled that the public display of a Hanukkiah and the public display of Christmas trees did not violate the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment to the Constitution. The justices reasoned that the two symbols did not endorse either Judaism or Christianity as such. Instead, both items comprised a part of the celebrations associated with winter, making both the Hanukkiah and the Christmas tree secular in nature. When lighting the Hanukkiah, the Shamash, known as the servant candle, lights each of the other candles. As mentioned, the word Shamash comes from a Hebrew noun which means servant or attendant. This candle signifies the importance that God placed upon having his people serve others. An anecdote from the 1930s can illustrate this truth. Thomas Marasek, the former president of Czechoslovakia, visited the synagogue on the final day of Hanukkah. He saw a tall menorah. As the rabbi explained the symbol of that light, the statesman listened attentively to the story of Hanukkah. Turning to a rabbi, he asked, quote, "Why is it, my friend, that 8 of the candles are standing in one row side by side, while the 9th stands alone, as if cast aside by the others?" The rabbi explained, "This candle, Mr. President, has no real part in the actual celebration. It only serves to light the Hanukkah candles. That is why it is called the Shamash, or servant candle." That answer left the Czech leader visibly puzzled. For a while he remained silent. Then he remarked, quote, "This servant candle strikes me as the symbol of the Jewish people itself, and the other candles are the nations to whom your people have brought the worship of one God and the precepts of morality and justice," unquote. The Shamash candle typifies the ministry of Jesus Christ. He is the light that lights every man that cometh into the world. But as the light of the world, he has given that ministry to his followers, saying to them that ye are the light of the world. Remember that the candle loses nothing by lighting another candle. Jesus Christ remains the light of the world, yet Christians should share his light reflected in them. Share his light with those who dwell in darkness. This concludes our Bible study for today. Thank you for joining us. Please come back for future programs.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can write us at P.O. Box 1386, Hickson, Tennessee, 37343, or call us at 423-876-8150, or you may also go online at ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.